Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
What's up, everyone? I just did a quick tip on my podcast about this, but I wanted to show it in a video format. And that is when this number one mistake you can make with a pressure washer is you see this quick release right here? Well, when you take the tip out and say you put something like your foam cannon, this is the $12.50 foam cannon I'm still using. I'll try to remember to link that video below. But when you connect it right there, you want to be careful that you're pushing it in all the way and it's connecting before you pull the trigger for the first time. Now, with a foam cannon, it's not as important because if you pull the trigger and this isn't fitting perfectly, the foam cannon will just kind of poop out onto the ground and it's not a big deal. But it may drop to the ground and you may break it. So something to consider. But where the real issue and the number one mistake that you want to be careful of is that your tip of your pressure washer sits into that quick release and it's actually in there, because it could sit like that, which would be an issue because if you have pressure behind the gun and you go to pull the trigger for the first time, this is going to act like a rocket and it's going to shoot. It could shoot out and dent the car, it could break a window, it could do a whole heck of a lot of things. So not only do you want to make sure it's in there good, but when you pull the trigger for the first time after switching from like your foam cannon back to the tip or whatever, I always like to angle it down at the ground. Make sure it's in there good, make sure it's not gonna shoot out. And it's another good reason to keep extra tips around, because sometimes the seals or anything could come loose and this tip can come out. So you wanna make sure when you're transitioning and putting something back on, that when you pull the trigger for the first time, angle it at the ground. Therefore, you're not gonna dent your car, a customer's car, break a window, or lose a tip, really, all of which is bad news for you when you're out doing a job or doing your own car, especially if you have soap on the car or hard water, whatever. So make sure this is fastened good, that quick release, aim it at the ground, and then pull the trigger. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. I will link the cheap versus expensive $12 foam cannon video if you wanna see that foam cannon. But I've done it and made the mistake myself where I've shot off tips of the pressure washer and stuff like that. So I wanted to make that quick video. Also did a quick tip on my podcast, but just wanted to share it with you guys here on YouTube. Don't make that mistake. Catch you on the next one. See ya.
Hey, sorry. I had it muted on my phone. I'm dealing with a little bit of wind. I got about 2 minutes left on this detail I'm working on, so I didn't want it to be all windy.
You know, you really don't give up working. I'm not a big fan of it myself.
I know, you keep telling me, but you know, you're not paying me enough, Pete.
It is funny, man. All morning long I've been working on joint venture stuff. Like a whole little
and you know what? That's cool. I honestly think I don't know if I mentioned it on our mastermind call or whatever yet, but I think detailing cars, and I think detailing cars is the closest thing that resembles drug dealing. I've never been a drug dealer, but I watch a lot of Netflix shows on it recently. Because it's like you go work and it's instant cash, right? And there's not too many things that, not too many ways you could do that. So I think I'm addicted to that.
Dude, I've said, man, that like detailing is probably the only business where you can go from like zero to $10K a month in short order, and you don't need a license, a degree. You basically need a bucket, a sponge, and a Q-tip, and there you go.
Pretty much. I mean, and where I'm at, you know, I've been doing it 10 years, so like, I mean, I hate to say it, but the phone just keeps ringing, you know?
The only thing is, it takes a toll on your body, man.
It does. But, you know, and I don't know what, I have a really hard time saying no. So I get myself stuck in these pickles where I just do really beat cars, you know, just beat up cars. And I don't, you know, sometimes not because I can't say no, you know. And it's like, who am I to turn down, you know, $250 for a couple hours worth of work to work on a beat car, you know, because I still have that mentality of like, I remember how hard it was to get started. And, you know, to be honest, I'm 3 blocks from my house. You know, it's 70 degrees out today and sunny. And it's like, and I can make $400 and be done pretty much by our mastermind calls. Like, that's pretty hard to walk away from.
See, and that's the whole thing is like, you know, we talk about you got to build a business that you can turn around and sell. You got to build a business, make as much money as you can, as quick as you can, and put your business in a position where it can be sold and it's worth something. Because it does take a toll. Like, you must have promoted the Inner Circle on something you did, because we had a bunch of people responding to, like, text messages and stuff that my automated system kicked out. And, and so this one guy was like, yeah, you know what, I'm 49 years old, I'm partial disability from...
Oh, yeah, I talked to him.
I was just from the police department, and I was like, oh, snap, dude, like, that's just, like, my back was hurting for him.
Like, but you know what's great about his situation is that he has a ton of experience, just life experience, right? He's got a nice pension that's going to be coming down his way. And so he doesn't have to have the income. He just wants something to do and wants to grow a business, on the side, you know? And it's like, and it's exactly what you're talking about is, you know, he could have his pension. He could start, you know, I think being a part of the Detailer Inner Circle, and this is what I told him, is the best when you're just starting, because you could really establish on the right foot. But you know, he's still got, you know, at 50 years old, he's got 30 years in him. He's got a whole nother career that he could build up and sell a business and be 80 and be done, you know, and sell the detailing business, have his pension coming through and be in a pretty nice spot, you know, and he doesn't have to do crappy cars. I mean, he could be cars.
He's got a leg up over a lot of people I talk to. So like, I was talking to this guy earlier today, who, you know, was thinking about going into business for himself for the first time. And he was like looking for some pointers and some advice and stuff. And I was like, dude, I'm going to be straight with you. The toughest thing that everybody I deal with, whether they're in real estate, detailing, marketing, whatever, the toughest hurdle that they got to get over is what I call the inner game. They're used to being an employee, and it's a totally different thing when you're your own boss.
And 100%.
Every day you got to wake up and go work, or you're going hungry. I mean, that's like, no one's giving you a paycheck for just showing up until, of course, you start implementing our continuity programs, and then you do get that paycheck, so to speak.
Right. And,
which
and
is part of the reason why I like that, you know,
100%. And on the, to take the exact opposite of that is, you know, I've taken on a small consulting gig with a chemical manufacturer, and that is corporate. And they, you know, and it's weird to, I could see how it, corporate is such a trap, you know, because you can get by with a lot, doing a lot less, you know, than your own business where it's fully dependent upon you, you know, and it's weird to work backwards. It was definitely an adjustment for me to like work backwards and to step into that arena a little bit. And granted, it's not even close to full time at all, but, you know, to get a taste of that corporate, lifestyle is like, wow, this could be dangerous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's the other reason too, why, I tell people, especially in detailing, man, you gotta be thinking with the end in mind, be thinking, what's my exit strategy, build up a business. So you have the option to sell it, because it is physical labor. And it's eventually you're going to reach a point where it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And you want the option. If you still enjoy it, like, we've got some people, as you know, in the Inner Circle who have shops. And it's actually even a little bit different when you got shops, because at least there you can control your climate better than... I'm a redhead. You know this about me. I freaking hate the sun. I could not do what you do in Southern California. then we got the one guy who's got the office park down in Irvine. So at least he's like in a parking structure. I would die. It was like, here's a parking lot, get to work. I would die. I could not do it. I'd be miserable.
See, and I couldn't, it just worked out. I honestly didn't realize this when I first got started, but I would die if I had to be inside all day. I literally start getting sick. I get an instant headache. It's like the weirdest thing. And maybe it's because I've been outside so long, you know, but that's kind of what it is for me too. It's like, once I'm not fully reliant upon the detailing income and constantly stressed out and worried about where my next client is coming from, which can all be attained through the principles that we talk about in the detailer inner circle. But for a long time, you know, I'd say the first 4 or 5 years of my business, granted, I got married young and all that, started family young, but like, it was like day to day, paycheck to paycheck, but my paycheck just came every day. And I think once you can get outside of that, whether you use the continuity program or whatever, once you get outside of that, it becomes a lot more enjoyable. You know, and that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like, well, yeah, I'm working on kind of a crappy car, but like, I'm outside. I enjoy it. It's not that bad. Like, I'm listening to my music. I'm doing this. I'm taking phone calls. Like, it's not that bad, you know, but it's because it's like, I'm in a different headspace to enjoy it more than I have been in the past, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but see, you also started it out too with the right mindset. You almost put your back up against the wall, because the first thing you did was you bought the trailer and all that equipment, and it was like, okay, now you got to pay for all that, you know, so you got to go out there and do it. I can't tell you how many times I've had people text me back, oh, I'd like to, but, you know, I'm just getting started. And I'm like, dude, it's $100 for the inner circle. It's not breaking anyone's bank. And if it is breaking the bank, then, you know, maybe you're not treating your business like a business. And that's
step one. Yep, you're 100% right. And that's something I've always told Heather, is like, because we're looking at hiring on potentially a VA for some social media stuff that I'm not really on board with, but Heather is, and she'll never listen to this, so that's fine. I can say that. but what I told her the other day is like, honestly, for the past 10 years, I've always put myself, I've always pigeonholed myself, but it's always worked out because I've had to find a way to make it work out, right? And I'm like, look, I couldn't afford to pay someone to show me or manage my Google AdWords, right? I couldn't, and luckily so, because I had to figure it out myself. So it was through a bunch of YouTube videos and hours and hours and months and trial and error and spending money and no return and blah, blah, blah. And I had to figure it out myself. I couldn't pay someone to pull me out of that hole. But what happened because of that? It's like, I created a course out of it, right? And then I can help other people. And it's like, because of all the experiences that I've been through detailing wise, out came the detailer inner circle. And now it's like, now I can, you know, because of that. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with that, but point being is that sometimes you have to pigeonhole yourself or make that commitment and not look back so that you can get to the next level, you know? And I think if, like you said, if you can't make that, I mean, we're talking to people in the inner circle, so, you know, but it's, we have the price point at that for a commitment level, right? Imagine if this group was filled with people that, you know, there was very, very low commitment per month. The group wouldn't be nearly as effective or cool as it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
and so much of it, though, is that inner game. And to get people that aren't treating it like a hobby, who are treating it like a business and taking it seriously. I mean, those are all, I mean, you and I have talked about this before in the inner circle. That's just people who are willing to invest in themselves. Like, one of the weird things about me is I've never had a problem investing in myself, even when I didn't really have the money to do it. Like, I would go buy the book. I would go take the course. Yep. I still remember, this is a true story, man. Back in, I don't even remember what year it was, probably like 2007 or so, It was right after the crash started. So I was full-time financial planning. The crash started, like we started to feel it in 2007. Everyone knows it as 2008, but man, it was coming before then. And I just remember there was this guy who I'd worked for years before. He's a trainer in the sales industry. And he was putting on an event on internet marketing. I mean, it was all guest speakers because he's not a marketing guy. He's a sales guy. So he was putting on this event. I can't remember how much it was, but it wasn't much money. It was like $200 or something to go to it. But I didn't have the $200. Like, that's just how poor I was at that moment. Everything was crashing around me. You know, I had two mortgage payments to make, my house, my rental, all that jazz. I'm freaking out. And I'm like, all right, I need to go to this thing because I need to learn this stuff. How can I do it? And when you kind of change the conversation that's going on in your head, and it's not, you know, I can't do this, and you go to, how can I do this? Your mind starts to figure stuff out. And it just like will give you an answer at like the weirdest time. I think it was like the middle of the night. And before this, what I had done for my financial planning business is I'd done all what's called event marketing. So if you guys get any of those postcards in the mail where they're like promising to buy you a steak dinner if you come listen to their pitch, that's what I did. And the reason why all financial planners do it is because it works. And it's just at that time, the markets are crashing. We couldn't even offer the stuff that we used to offer. Like literally, it wasn't available anymore. So we couldn't make it profitable. But because of that, I had all of this equipment. And when you put on events, you find out the equipment rental cost is like an arm and a leg. Like if you need to rent a PA system and a couple of mics, I mean, you're looking at $500 easy for a day. And I was like, dude, I got this equipment. I'm going to reach out to him and say, hey, look, man, I will come work your event. I'll bring the sound equipment that's going to save you like $500. I'll work it because I really want to attend this event, but I can't afford to go. So I was trying to figure out how can I create value for him so that way he's cool with letting me come. Whereas everyone else would just be like, hey, you know, I can't afford to come. Can you give me a break? Like, that doesn't give him any incentive, right? There's no benefit to him. And so he was like, yeah, dude, that's awesome. That'll save me a ton of money. Absolutely come. So I came, I showed up early. I set up all the equipment. I had the mics. I recorded the whole thing. I mean, I like did everything, dressed as a professional, did everything as I should. And we joke about it to this day. He goes, out of everybody who was at that event, you probably got more out of it than anybody because I took all of that stuff that I learned there and it became the foundational pieces to the whole digital marketing agency that I created. And whereas everyone else there was sort of like, oh, great information, and then never did a thing with it. It was just the mindset was like, you know, I got to go to this. I don't have the money. I got to figure out a way to go. And then whatever I learned there, I need to go back and immediately put into action. And that's the biggest thing that I encourage everyone who's in the inner circle. All the stuff that we share with you when you go through the detailing for profits, none of it's going to do you any good until you put it into action. And so we've laid it all out for you as clear as we can, but then just go put it into action. And it'll have an impact on your life, man. It totally will.
Totally will. And I think that's where we're at least an unforeseen issue I've seen. Is people actually implementing it and then getting so busy they can't even handle all the work, you know? Yeah. And we've seen that time and time again with people in the inner circle, you know.
Yeah, you know, I know you wanted to talk about something specific here on this call, so I'm going to let you kind of bring that up. But I just want to remind everyone, and for everyone who's new, if you're live here on the line and you've got a question or a comment, go ahead and hit *2. And that will raise your hand, and then I'll see your hand raised here on my computer screen. I can pull you over into the call, and you can ask your question or give your comment. So anyway, Jimbo, go ahead and kick off what you wanted to talk about on today's call.
Which, by the way, before I do, I think that banter that we just had for the past 18 minutes was probably some of the best banter we've had yet. And the most on point, on topic, at least.
I kind of just want to go, mic drop.
But yeah, this kind of topic, I started to realize that we haven't really touched on it, or I just wanted to touch on it. And that's when, you know, a big aspect of the Detailer Inner Circle that we offer is sometimes underutilized, very underutilized in the detailing space in general. I had a detailer reach out to me the other day, local to our area, Pete, and just saying how he couldn't get any business, couldn't get any work at all. And I was like, okay, well, I was going to direct him to like maybe start running some Google ads, right? Because I know how effective those are. But I'm like, hey, do you have a website? And he's like, no, I don't have that yet. I'm like, okay, so let me get this straight. You aren't willing to go. And he didn't want to go to Office Parks because he wanted to charge $40 per car and they wanted to only pay him $30 per car. And I'm like, okay, because that was my first thing, is like, go to Office Parks. That's the low hanging fruit, right? Like, go do car washes. That's how I cut my teeth. That's the low hanging fruit. That's when you don't have any work, $30 is a lot more than zero, right?
Yeah.
And so start there. So he didn't even have a website though. And I'm like, man, it's crazy to me that detailers still don't have a website, right? But everyone here is a part of the Detailer Inner Circle and they can move their website over. But having a website is only part of the deal. It's like, we've talked about it a lot. You want a website that generates referrals and leads for you, right? And that's what we've given everyone, is a website that can do that. But what do you do with those leads when you get them? And luckily, how we have the website set up is that those leads are very, very easy to follow up with, right? You always have their name, usually have their phone number, and always have their email address, right? So there's, and what I love even further is that there's the option that they can leave a comment for what they want, right? And when it's like, when I get those, it's like money in the bank, right? It's someone that took the time to not only fill out their name, number, email, but then write a blurb about what they're looking for. That's super easy. But what I started to realize is that when I email someone back, I don't convert as many of those, right? So what I like to do is, as soon as that lead comes through, or that referral or whatever you want to call it comes through, I text them right away. Like, I get the email and within literally 30 seconds, I got the push notifications for my email come through on my phone. And within 30 seconds, I'm making contact with that person, you know? And what I've found is that when I do that, I convert significantly more clients. So, and then people go, you know, there's this uproar in the detailing industry about like quoting prices before you see the car. And it's like, the most effective way I've been able to combat that is texting them. Because if I call them or I slide dial them, that's like my second favorite. But if I slide dial them, I always ask them to text me, not to call me back, right? Because we need to see the car to accurately quote the car. And I know if I just simply call the person, they're going to want to know a price. And then we're going to have to go into that whole spiel of like, you know, okay, well, I need to see the car. Do you want me to come look it out? Do you want to send me pictures? Blah, blah, blah. Like, and I want to eliminate that whole conversation. So that's why I always text them first. And chances are,
let me ask you something on that. Because I was actually thinking about this with our Voxer group. I believe it was Alex who was talking about a boat that he was going to do, or did do, or no, maybe he like lent out his equipment. I can't remember now. But, you know, he asked for pictures. At least I think it was Alex. He asked for pictures, and then they sent him pictures, and then they're like, yeah, those are a couple of years old. And I'm like, dude, that's Alex. Because
that's
like, you don't really care what the dude's boat looks like. You care what the dude's boat looks like. Like, how does it look today? What do I need to do on it? So when you text them, do you, like, make it clear, hey, I want to see the current condition of your car. Can you take a bunch of pictures of it and text them to me?
So definitely not something I thought of, but I do use that language. Like, can you send me some pictures of the current condition of the car? So,
yeah, that's awesome.
I definitely, that's a definite bait and switch and totally sucks. And here's another thing to segue off of that. You can always change your price on the customer before you get started, right? People ask that, like, well, what if I get there and the car is totally different? You can change your price because that customer knows the car is different than what they sent the pictures of, Or, and here's why I like texting people too, it's all in black and white or blue and white or green and white, right? Depending on Android or whatever. But it's all documented, right? If you're on the phone and maybe you're busy, I know I do this, I get busy, I'll rattle off a ballpark quote, not be taking notes of it, and then I'll call you back, I'm going to talk to my spouse about it, whatever. And then they call back, and I'm like, frig, what did I quote them? Like, I have no idea, right? So, but for all the information we're going to need as detailers, so pictures of the car, what's your address, the price quote, all that is going to be documented. So you really alleviate a lot, any arguments that may come up, right? Because like, look, here's the condition that you sent me of the car. Here is, the price I quoted you. There's really no discussion to be had other than that. So, and then you could keep a record and a log of everything that you talked about. Oh, you know, if they say, well, why didn't you shampoo the seats? It's like, well, we didn't discuss that. I actually told you that I wouldn't be doing the seats. You know, so it's a lot faster a way to communicate with referrals. I land a lot more referrals because of it. And then the clear communication, you know, and it's easier. I could be doing anything and be texting someone. You know, if I got to jump on a call, I got to, you know, make sure I don't have my machines running. I got to stop what I'm doing. Like what just happened, I was working on a car, finishing it up. The customer was doing a drive-by, she said, probably to make sure I was still there. And she's talking to me as I'm trying to talk to you guys on the Inner Circle call, and she doesn't realize that my earbuds are in, but she's talking to me, and I'm like, can you just text me? You know?
Mm. Yeah.
So it's a lot more. Just last week, I had a helper come with me on, Wednesday or Thursday, and the two referrals I got that day directly from my website, I ended up doing their cars like an hour later, all done via text, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. So lead comes in on the website, and then you just immediately text them. That's your next step.
And the lead comes through, you know, via email, and it has the number in the email, you know? So right from that email, I just hold it down or whatever. I have an iPhone, so, you know, or I copy the number and go over to the messaging app and send them a message. That's it. You know, it's very, because of how we have the website set up and how lead oriented they are, it's very simple to, you know, go from that. Basically, I've done nothing up until the point of texting them, right? So I've been pursued the whole time and my website's been doing all the work for me. And all I got to do is send a quick text, you know?
So how much time would you say is in between you got the email for the lead and you text them?
So if it's during the day, it's literally 30 seconds to a minute, you know? Okay. But what's great about having a website and why it's so important to have a website, sometimes I get leads at 3 a.m. or midnight or 11 p.m. or whatever. And that's what I talk about in the Google AdWords course. Is like when you have a website and you're doing ads or not doing ads, just a website in general, that's working. That's an employee. It's working for you 24/7, you know, and especially with our lead program and all that, it's like I get leads at all hours of the day and night. So if a lead comes in at, you know, 8 p.m., I might not get back to them right away, or I will. And that's why I text them too. I'm laying in bed, putting my son down for bed, texting a potential client. You know, if I were to have to call them, that's a nightmare. I'm not calling them till either after and I'm going to slide dial them or get to them the next day. But that, in my opinion, and Pete, maybe you have a stat behind that, like, you know, that referral gets less hot the more time you let pass, right? So
Yeah. That's
why I like texting them. I could text them at any time, right? Versus if I got to call them, I might not call them till 9 o'clock the next morning. You know, and by that time, too much, you know, 13 hours has passed. You know, that person's hot. They want to line something up.
Yeah, like, the Harvard Business Review put out a study that was done, and I use it in a lot of my presentations because I really want people to understand, you know, the power of follow-up. And basically what they did is over 3 years, they looked at 100,000 calls
to 15,000 leads that had come in. And what they found was that, well, they found a lot of different things, but a couple of the key points. One was you had a 400% better chance of getting someone on the phone if you followed up with them within 5 minutes than if you waited 10 minutes. Like, that was the difference between waiting an extra 5 minutes in your follow-up. You just, you had a 400% less of a chance of getting a hold of them. So I love that it's, like you're saying, it's between 30 seconds to a minute and you're texting out to them. And part of me is sitting here going, okay, am I hearing the next steps that we need to add to SMS conversations?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, that lead comes
if
in on the website.
There could be an automated.
Yeah, and it automates the text out to them. Hey, thanks for inquiring. I want to get you an accurate quote. Can you take some pictures of the current condition of the car, text them back to me? I want to have a minute to look at them. I'll get you back with a rate. That way you can do that. Yeah. It could be automated in the middle of the night and you don't have to
get back with them until next morning. If
we
could
somehow
implement that would be insane, because
I know.
It may not even be possible, right? But at least what it does is it puts the ball in the customer's court. So again, it's like, if you're serious, I'm ready, you know? And then you're really only communicating with the most serious of leads.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I like is we've got this whole funnel going. And I think that would be an extension of that funnel to have automation work for us so that we don't have to, you know?
That's the whole key for me. I was talking to this marketing guy yesterday, and he was like, oh, well, you know, we've got a mutual client, so he doesn't do, like, the type of marketing that I do. In fact, I still can't figure out what the heck he does. And
and then you're like, gonna say, you don't know what you do.
No, I know what I do. I definitely know what I do for this client. I get paid well for what I do for this client. So he goes, oh, I got this email that said there was a webinar coming up, this week. And I'm like, dude, I have no idea what email you got. Send me the email, and I bet you it's an auto webinar that we've got going on. And he sends me the email, and that's what it is. It's an auto webinar. But I am all about the automation. Like, I just want to deal with the hot people who are ready to go right now. And so I need all of the tech to do all of the heavy lifting for me. So I love that response of just texting them first. You know, you can slide dial, you can do all that stuff, but let that do the heavy lifting. And that way you're just like, if someone texts you back pictures of their car, that's obviously a serious person, because no one else is going to get up off their butt, walk out to their garage, take some pictures and send them back to you.
Yep.
Unless they're serious. So.
Exactly.
So. Exactly. Yeah, no.